T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.
Thanks for listening to the Dusty and Cam in the Morning podcast, brought to you by your local Les Schwab Tire Centers, where I get my wild country tires. Les Schwab, doing the right thing since 1952.
This is Dusty and Cam in the Morning.
It ain't about how hard you hit. It's about how hard you can get hit and keep moving forward. How much you can take and keep moving forward. That's how winning is done.
With Dusty Hara and NFL veteran Cam Cleland.
If I can change and you can change, everybody can change.
On 1080, The Fan.
Alrighty, hour number 3, Dusty and Cam in the Morning. Coming up this hour, did we see a bigger win for the Beavs or a bigger loss for the Ducks? Text us, 503-250-1080. Also, we go rapid fire. Every single game in the National Football League, we will hit this hour. We got a big one tonight, though, right here on The Fan. Our coverage starts at 3 o'clock before we have a 5:30 kick between the Eagles and Seahawks in Philly. Monday Night Football tonight, and a big win for the Seahawks as they could get a game of separation in the NFC West standings. But for Philly, man, they're just treading water and trying to stay above water and in that race for the NFC East, which is now held by the New York Giants, the leaders in the NFC East. Mm.
Who may have lost their quarterback for extended time.
They haven't really released what's happened to him yet.
Daniel Jones, it looked like it was a hamstring is what they were reporting on the game last night.
Bad hamstring injury.
Bad hammy.
Oh, boy. But he left the game, and then he tried to come back and threw one pass and immediately was grasping at it. But the Giants and football team of Washington, they are both the division leaders at 4-7. And right now, the Eagles are 3-6-1, and a win tonight could vault them back up to the top of the standings. And Doug Peterson's been fielding this question for a long time, and it's about the quarterback struggles. Take a listen to this. Does this sound like Doug Peterson is starting to get a little bit frustrated, not with just hearing the question, but maybe the position as a whole?
We still have a lot to play for, and we still have a lot to fix. It's not, you know, in this city, the quarterback and the head coach, right? I mean, it's all about the QB and the head coach. And everybody else can almost, you know, go by the wayside, I guess. And so it's almost like a two-man band. But there's enough work to be done, as I've mentioned, by all positions. Receivers can play better. You know, the O-line can play better.
Carson Wentz has not been good. He has been bad at times.
14 turnovers, 14 interceptions.
Well, he's taken more sacks than anybody else in the league as well.
Yeah, holding on to the ball a lot longer than he should.
It's been ugly for the Philadelphia Eagles, and now we have the reports that Jalen Hurts is getting some run with the ones.
Yeah, he's going to get some reps with the ones, and why wouldn't you? If you're looking for a spark, to me that sounds like Doug Peter. This is not, it's not news for a head coach to come out and tell you that it's tough to be a star of sorts in Philly. Look, they won a championship with Nick Foles, and they decided to go all in on Carson Wentz. And I would have done the same thing from a leadership standpoint, because Nick Foles is going to show you what Nick Foles is. He was a great little stand-in, but that team was well-built, and they came up and they hit lightning in a bottle and beat the Patriots in the Super Bowl. Congratulations. But the epic fall-off that they have had since that Super Bowl, pretty predictable. Pretty predictable, because he goes to show you that they've had injuries abroad. They overpaid some of their guys. They couldn't find replacements. They've retreaded a few others, and they've been in a division. It's not like that division's been difficult to win. When they won it last year at 8-8, but they barely won it. They shouldn't have beat the Cowboys. The Cowboys fell on their face in the last game of the season, and they backdoored their way into the playoffs. And Seattle went on the road and beat them. So this is about Doug Peterson going, how long can you survive off a Super Bowl championship if you're a head coach? Andy Reid survived there for years, for not winning the Super Bowl, but for making it. But he and Donovan McNabb took tons of heat. Mm-hmm. Terrell Davis, the amount of the fan base in that whole place, it's crazy. And those people are crazy, and they know it. And he looks like a guy that's coming up with excuses and reasons, and he's not wrong. But when you're the star, you're the star head coach, you're going to take all the heat.
Yeah, he mentioned at the end of that clip, like, hey, our offensive line could be playing better. Well, I mean, they have been ravaged by injury on their offensive line, and Lane Johnson is done for the year. The quote out of him this weekend was the inside of his ankle had collapsed, which sounds like a horrible thing that he's going through.
Yeah, he's like, I'm done. My ankle basically collapsed in on itself.
It's awful.
God.
Well, that sounds awful.
It sounds terrible. And so your offensive line is been ravaged. You have Carson Wentz, who, as you said, holding on to the ball too long. 40 sacks he's taken this year.
Crazy.
40.
That means 40 hit. That doesn't include the amount of hits he's taken also on top of those sacks. Because obviously you can take a sack as a hit, but it's a takedown. Just physically what he's had to go through this year. And why is he doing that? Because he feels like he has to make every throw, every play, extend every play, and make the ultimate big chunk. Or there's a guy that's not getting it.
Do you know who the next closest is as far as time sacked?
Well, it's Russell Wilson, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
At 33.
Yeah.
But here's the deal is that Carson Wentz has also thrown 14 interceptions and to only 14 touchdowns. Right. If you're going to be throwing picks, you better be throwing touchdowns.
Sure.
And, you know, like Russell Wilson has got 10 picks, but he's thrown 30 touchdowns.
Well, it's also this story's more about, too, if you think about the Seahawks almost, they've had this has almost been a bye week for them, right? I mean, they have a huge win. They go and they lose on the road. They lose a big game. Lose on the road. You play a Rams team, and that didn't look very good. So you get a chance to redo yourself and play a Thursday game, which is a big win. But all the Rams did is go and beat Tampa. So that put the Rams and elevated them. During this whole time, the Seahawks felt pretty good going to this. They have an extended kind of bye week type situation, knowing they're going to get to Monday. But the Rams lose to the 49ers inexplicably, and Aaron Donald just played fantastic, about broke his helmet because he threw a tantrum, and that's understandable. But here you are as the Seahawks going on the road, and you have a four-game stretch versus you're going to play the Giants, and you're going to play three NFC East teams. You're set up perfect to make this happen.
Well, how about this one, though, from the Philadelphia Inquirer, where this was written. Doug Peterson is clearly frustrated right now with what's happening. There are people both inside and outside of the organization who have told me he wouldn't be totally unhappy if he ends up getting fired.
Yeah.
He won't have any trouble getting another head job. He might have more say over personnel someplace else. Remember, Jeffrey Lurie, their owner.
Head on up to New York.
Well, Lurie didn't go to their game in Cleveland out of protest, apparently.
Right.
Like, he was frustrated with the way the team's been playing.
Doug Peterson to the Jets.
Well,
calling it.
What's going to happen here is you're going to have, well, what about Atlanta? Jeez, they don't have a GM either.
I think he'd rather go to the Jets, tell
but
you the
if
truth.
You if you go to Atlanta, look what they're doing. That's a talented roster. You know you got a talented roster. You got an owner that
quarterback.
You got an owner that cap. An owner that cares.
You're right.
In Atlanta.
Yeah, Atlanta's a great spot, but your quarterback situation is a heck of a lot sexier. No, you're going to get Trevor Lawrence.
Yeah. But then you have you have this where you could run off Andy Reid and Doug Peterson. And is that the right move if you're sitting there and you're Philly?
That's Philly fan and that's Philly people. It's what it is. It's what happens.
Running off great coaches that go and win Super Bowls elsewhere?
Yeah, absolutely. It's what they do there. Oof. Remember, they had a judge and a jury and executioners in their stadium in the Vet. I mean, that's how crazy that place is. It's full of lunatics. It's full of extreme blue-collar fans that want to just rip you when you're bad. But climb poles that are greasy when it's good. I mean, just call it what it is. It's not surprising.
Yeah, it'd be unfortunate if they ran off Doug Peterson, though. I think he's a good coach. He's a really good coach.
I think he's a very good coach.
And a lot of what's happening is not his doing.
But I hope this. I hope it's a good football game. Seahawks are just built right now. They're built to make this run. They look better physically. They look better. They're getting all their guys back. Chris Carson's back. I think the Seahawks win this game pretty easily. You know, at least by a touchdown, 10 points.
Yeah, this text here says all the stars have aligned this week for Seattle. Now they just better not lose this trap game.
Oh, I don't think it's a trap game.
Ooh.
It's an on the. They know they're going on the road. This is a tough game physically. They know it's going to be a tough game. It's not going to be a walk-on. Now, when you play the Jets, there's your trap game later after you play the Giants and then the Jets and then you play Washington's not an easy game either. Now, it's not like you're going to walk on them. You're better than them. But Washington put up a fight. Alex Smith's playing good. He's got Chase Young's. I mean, they're not bad.
The Washington football team.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-mm-mm.
Still, those are all losing record teams. So you should win the next four games, Seahawks. You should.
Yeah. What do you make of the fact, though, that, you know, not getting to the quarterback as often as you'd like? I mean, if you got a quarterback who's getting sacked, this may be the get-right game for the Seahawks.
True, but also, what will Jalen Hurts do differently than probably Carson Wentz?
You think we see him?
I think we do. Put it in these terms. If you come out in your first drive or second drive and you're filling your Carson Wentz, maybe you throw a pick, a couple three and outs, maybe a few punts. What's the risk putting Jalen Hurts in there? Are you going to cause a big problem? Is there going to be even more dissension? Are you going to make it so that Carson Wentz's feelings are hurt? You're Doug Peterson. At what point is there a loss right now?
Well, that's where this report of if he doesn't care if he gets fired or not, why not? Just throw him in.
What happens if he even started him? Be crazy.
Philly ranks third in the NFL in sacks. As a defense, though.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, Carson Wentz may be getting blasted on the offensive side, but they're getting to the quarterback, and that is something to keep an eye on for Seahawks fans as, Brandon Shell's going to be out with an injury this week. So you're looking at a good pass rush that you're going up against, and Russell Wilson's been sacked the second most in the NFL. This is going to be a fun game, and if we do see Jalen Hurts, man.
Well, Fletcher Cox is a beast, so good luck blocking that guy.
Yeah. And that's a guy. How many years has Fletcher Cox been in the NFL now?
Was he 12?
He's in that Mercedes Lewis group of guys who I just can't believe are out there still doing it it so well.
Yeah.
Well, no, he's in his ninth year. He's not that.
Oh, is that
he
it?
I thought he was like 12.
His first round pick in 2012. He's not that. I mean, it's not that.
No.
He has a 12th pick. 12th
You're
pick.
Kidding.
Yeah, no.
In 2012?
So it just seems like he's been in the league.
He's younger than Bobby Wagner.
How?
Because he's, I don't know, he's an old soul out there. The guy's a beast. He's unblockable. I don't remember. What was the backup center for the Seahawks last year? Just got murdered in the playoffs. Oh, you know what I'm talking about. They cut him this year.
I know the guy you're talking about.
I already forgot his name. I forgot his name. Fletcher Cox obliterated him in that playoff game. He's just unblockable.
That guy that they gave the extension to?
It's a big time having him back.
Boy, that is amazing to me. Fletcher Cox is, how old you say? 30?
Yeah, he's in his 8th year, 29, 30 years old. Mississippi State.
Jeez.
He's 29 Louise. Years old. 29 years old.
He seems is like that he's old? A million. No, he just seems like he's been around forever. That's amazing to me.
Beast.
All right. Hey, did we see a bigger win for Oregon State or a bigger loss for Oregon on Friday night? 503-250-1080. We talk Ducks, Beavs next on The Fan. Oregon State beat the Ducks 41-38 right here on The Fan on Friday evening. A heck of a game from Oregon State. 22-7, they outscore Oregon in the fourth quarter. And we're asking you, bigger win for the Beavs or bigger loss for the Ducks? Dashed are the hopes of a Pac-12 berth in the college football playoff. And for Oregon, that was kind of what they were looking for and banking on. And they had, one of the longest win streaks in all of college football heading into that game. And both of those things are gone for Oregon. 503-250-1080. Bigger win for the Beavs or bigger loss for the Ducks?
And this one says, bigger win for the Beavs. This is going to start a recruiting spark for Jonathan Smith and company. It goes to show you that he doesn't need the five stars to beat the five stars.
He needs more. You need a lot more help, certainly, to win over and over again. But if you're Oregon State, this was a game-changing, program-changing win. Just everything. Just look at the passion they had. The excitement of it, man. That locker room, that's what I miss more than anything, is watching those dudes jump around, have fun, celebrate that win like that. You just wish there would have been fans there. You're like, man, that sucks. But it was great. It's great to see because Jonathan Smith is an excellent coach. He's very cerebral. He's a bright offensive mind. And to turn that program around in 3 years, and wasn't he handed just an absolute dirty diaper?
It was a dumpster fire.
Yeah.
Gary Anderson handed him a program in ruins.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, and that's not an exaggeration. It was an S show. It truly was. And if you look what they did last year, I mean, they started doing it last year where you go, they had wins over UCLA, Cal, Arizona, and Arizona State, right? And those are good starting places and good building blocks when you have a season where four of your five wins are in conference play. Well, guess what? Now there, you look at conference play, which is everything that you've had this year, and you're 2-2 in conference play. So you have won 6 of your last 12 conference games. Gary Anderson gave you a program that had lost, God, I don't even know how many in a row, right, in conference play. And that is kind of where you start turning it around. Like, you've got to be able to win in your conference before you can win anywhere else. And this is a good step in the right direction for Oregon State's program. And hopefully it does lead to an uptick in recruiting. Hopefully it does.
Oh, it will.
And this person says, bigger win for Oregon State, as it's not that bad for U of O. They still control their own destiny if they win out. Plus, if they beat UW, that will help take away the sting of this game.
Yeah, I do agree with that, though, in where you look at the national perception of where Oregon's ceiling was, especially after the first college football playoff rankings. Being at 15, as of like Tuesday night, the ceiling for Oregon's program was kind of the Fiesta Bowl. And isn't it still right now, the Fiesta Bowl?
I don't know. Probably, potentially. Potentially, sir. I mean, I don't know why you couldn't do that. You could still get up there. You're going to have to face a few teams that can run the ball very well. So you got to close this out. Certainly, if you're looking at both teams, Oregon State's looking at trying to get into a really good bowl game. You know, that's Oregon's got to be mad. Come on, Oregon fan and Oregon football. You massively frustrated. You have to be.
I would say giving up 536 yards in two games is something that you should be upset about.
Well, you should be concerned about the front, about your front, about being pushed around by offenses, both backed. You know, now we know we've got to see that UCLA can run the football as good as anybody in this conference. You know, Jamar Jefferson is the player of the year. He's the offensive player of the year. In my mind, I don't know what everyone else will think, but I think it's been quite clear is that young man, and I'm so ecstatic for him and great that the Pac-12 came back and played, because this kid got himself a maybe potentially first round pick, but probably a second round pick, because he's that good. He is really good. But if you're an Oregon team and you're in those meetings today, you're really concerned. Coach Avalos is very concerned about how to stop the run.
Well, when a tendency becomes a rule, that is where you have a little bit of panic. And the tendency of giving up big plays in the run game is now kind of the rule where you, again, 95 carries, 536 yards. That's two games that Oregon has given that up in. Mm-hmm. UCLA and Oregon State, that's over 5.5 yards per carry. And that is... I mean, that's got to be frustrating. You know, a buddy that used to play for Oregon, he said, I don't know what's worse, losing to the Beavers or watching a defense that can't stop the run. You know, like it's that level of frustration right now.
One leads to the other, clearly. This one says that specifically about the defense, it says, it seems to me that the defense is too reactionary. They're very aggressive. Or they're not very aggressive at putting pressure on offenses. It seems like they just sit back and react to what the offense is doing. I feel like I don't see them blitzing ever or rushing more than 3 or 4 people.
Well, guys, when you get beat physically at the point of attack and teams can run at you, that's an attitude. That really is an attitude and a belief. And if you went into the season and told me that Jordan Scott and Austin Faolu and some of those guys up front along with Kayvon Thibodeau that were going to get pushed around like that physically, I wouldn't have bet against that. I would have felt that, okay, the linebackers were younger and maybe you're looking at a true freshman with Noah Sewell being your best tackler on the team, which I didn't think I would say that. That's the concern, is that where's the fight and the dog in you to not get pushed back like that? When someone lines up against you and you continually just right in your face over and over again, that's heart and fight, and they don't have it.
Yeah, this is where it is the frustration is with, you know, Kayvon Thibodeau and Jordan Scott. When they get double teamed, there's nobody else making plays, you know? And like one of those guys is getting a double team.
Not always. Okay.
But when they are getting
one-on-one,
a lot of the time they are getting double teamed. One of those two guys is, and that nobody else is doing anything. Like, nobody else is making a play around it. And that is where you sit there and you go, the one-on-one battles, when you have guys that are commanding that sort of attention, they're just not being won.
Yeah.
And even when those guys do get one-on-ones, they're not winning them all the time.
And this one says, I think this win officially signaled to all the Oregon State fans that they absolutely made the right hire. Now, yes, the last step for them is to develop a little bit better recruiting prowess, which is already slowly starting to tick up.
100% agree. I loved Coach Smith as a hire from the start. Mm-hmm. So that's not going to I never deviated off that path. It's a great job. It's a great hire. Perfect fit. Great scenario for them. It's you just hope there's a lot of players out there that want to go be part of it.
The question is always, like, how do you get into those homes, right, in recruiting? And getting a foot in the door is a big one, and they're
winning
doing
helps.
That.
Beating the Ducks helps.
That's
a lot.
You have to beat that team.
Yeah.
I mean, because that is the brand. And for Oregon, I mean, you got to take this loss and sit there and maybe have a little look in the mirror there and figure out where this thing is going, because it is not just, you know, one game. This is a trend over, you know, all four this year of the run defense having their struggles and having their issues. And against, you know, Washington State and Stanford, you were able to clean it up in the second half. But in the first half, those were still problems that they were having.
Look, Oregon, you put it on film that you can't stop the run. That means now Cal and the Huskies are going to run it right in your face. Either you figure it out in the next couple weeks, or you sell out and go eight in the box and try to put your secondary and play man coverage and do not let teams do this. But if you're going to sit back and allow this versus Cal, and you're hoping you get to play Cal, who knows of that situation. But when you go up and play Washington, they're going to try to run it right at you. And so this is going to be an attitude. These last two games for the Ducks, and certainly for the Beavs, are those, can we get to a great bowl game for the Beavs, and can the Ducks hold on?
Well,
because you're holding on by purse strings, by giving up 532 yards. You really are.
Yeah. And by the way, Cal averaged 7 yards a carry against Stanford, rushed for 241 yards.
How about that? Kicker misses an extra point. Kickers.
Blocked.
Kickers.
Blocked.
Kickers. Yeah.
It was blocked.
I know. It was kickers.
It was a great play. He blocked it. He blocked it. So Cal's not going to be no walk in the park either as far as run game goes.
You know Coach Wilcox is going to have his guys tough. Now, maybe they're not dominant, but they're going to be ready.
503-250-1080. We'll have more on this as the show goes on, but we got to go rapid fire next. Every game in the NFL from a day ago. First is Buck with SportsCenter. All right, because of Thanksgiving, it's a little bit shorter slate, but we do it every single Monday at this time. Time for a rapid fire. We go through all the games played in the NFL from a day ago, and where we got to start is in Atlanta, where Raheem Morris is doing a pretty dang good job with this Falcons team that was miserable to start the year.
4-2.
He's won 3 of the last 4 games, and 4-2, as you just said, as the head coach. They absolutely demolished Derek Carr, John Gruden, and the Raiders.
What the heck are the Raiders? Come on.
A turnover machine.
Can't
with
even
David
figure
Carr,
that out. Derek this is Carr? Schizophrenia that you guys got going on down there in Vegas. I don't get it, but hats off to Raheem Morris, because I didn't see that happening. Maybe they had a horrible game last week, and the Falcons come right on back. So, figure.
Yeah. I mean, that was...
fell asleep.
All right. Well, Derek Carr went 3 fumbles and a pick.
Jeez.
You ain't going to do much in that case.
Dreadful.
All right. Let's go to Buffalo, where the Chargers fell to the Bills 27-17. I still can't figure out what the hell the Chargers and Anthony Lynn were doing. They convert 2 Hail Marys. One gets called back for PI. So Justin Herbert on 4th and 27 finds a receiver, Gallant, and they're down 10. They get down to the 1-yard line. They have no timeouts. They run the football through an incomplete pass instead of spiking it, and then they go and lose still by 10.
I tried to do a QB sneak. Didn't work. You know what?
What are they doing?
This is obvious. I'm just saying it right now. I don't know if anyone else thinks this is obvious. You need a new head football coach.
Jeez.
You do.
And I think he said it was like an accident running the ball. They didn't mean to or something.
You clearly are in every game. You have talent. You have everything there. you're getting out coached, you're getting out game planned. I think, I'm sorry, Anthony Lynn, I just think you need a new head football coach.
He was asked the question, like, why didn't you guys just run up and spike it, or why did you run the ball? And he said, I don't know.
Okay. Oh,
all right. Well, there you all go. Right,
so there you go.
Chargers now 3-8.
Wow.
The Giants are now atop the NFC East. Boy, this was a struggle bus. Raise your hand if you knew that either of these guys were the backup quarterbacks. Daniel Jones gets hurt for the New York Giants. So Colt McCoy comes into the game.
Look at that.
And goes 6 of 10 for 31 Texas? Yards. Yep. And then Brandon Allen in his first start for the Bengals in replacing Joe Burrow.
What a drop off.
He threw for 136 yards, a touchdown and a pick, but they almost won. 19-17, Giants hold off the Bengals.
Good enough. Good enough, Giants, first place. Daniel Jones hurt, hamstring.
Who wins turd of a division after what we saw from Dallas on Thanksgiving?
Every week I'm curious. I have no idea. I thought it would be the Cowboys, and then I thought it would be the Washington football team. Now it's the Giants. Who's the best team? Who's the most veteran quarterback left? It's got to be Alex Smith. I'll go with the Washington football team, I guess.
Maybe they just shouldn't get a playoff berth, like I've been saying for a while.
They should.
My gosh. Derrick Henry has rushed for 1,121 yards.
Crown him.
In his last 8 road games. He had 140 at halftime. And December, Derrick Henry is a little early. He's starting it in November. 178 yards on 27 carries, 3 touchdowns as the Titans cruise past the Colts 45-26.
It's an absolute man beast.
He is a man beast.
He's incredible. He's the best running back in the NFL right now. He is. He's the team. He's everything. He makes that offense go. He makes the whole team's energy. He's untackleable. And first of all, beating the same team twice in 3 weeks is just not going to happen. The Colts couldn't do it. The Titans, you knew they were going to flip their game plan, say, we're going to run the football. We're going to give it to the king. And all they've done is beat Baltimore and now beating the Colts. The Colts have a very good defense, and so is Baltimore. Wow. Hello, Titans.
I saw someone point out that yesterday's game might have been proof that DeForest Buckner could be a defensive player of the year candidate. They were awful without him in the middle there. He's out with COVID.
Yep.
Justin Jefferson caught his 5th receiving touchdown of the season in a first quarter as the Minnesota Vikings beat the Panthers 28-27. Could that be a dark horse for rookie of the year, Justin Jefferson? I think it's Justin Herbert's to lose, but I saw a little bit of buzz starting for Justin Jefferson.
I don't know if it's
his receivers are damn good. Yeah, they're living up to the hype.
Well, as those of all those rookie wide receivers, which one you taking? He's in that conversation.
Yeah. Heck yeah.
Absolutely. He's really good. Yeah. Good.
I like CeeDee Lamb. I like Jerry Jeudy too. They just have nobody to get him.
Vikings have an outside shot at the playoffs. I mean, they're not out of it. Not out of it.
Yeah, they're 5-6 right now.
Bears are fading. Everybody's fading. Yeah. Tampa Bay's fading.
But here's the thing is that they need Arizona to fall off.
Which, oh, by the way,
they lose 20-17.
Good segue,
Nick
there.
Folk with a field goal to beat the Cardinals. Patriots now 5-6.
You have 10 points in the first quarter, and then you go just goose eggs throughout the game, then you get 7 in. The Patriots just play better defense. That's an on the road. You could have called that game. Realistically, Cardinals are not good on the road. They just are not. They've proven it that they can't go win that big game on the road. They lost to Seattle on Thursday night. They go on the road to the East Coast. And the Patriots are just they're a shell of a team, and they beat you.
Cam Newton went 9 of 18 for 84 yards and 2 interceptions.
How much the Kyler Murray shoulder was more of an issue than when we think.
Yeah.
I think it is.
It's a big one. Cam Newton, again, with a game under 100 yards throwing the football.
What would we say he was wearing? Was that a poncho, a serape? What was that?
I don't know. Hey, checking in on the Jets, they suck. They are 0-11, lose 20-3 to the Miami Dolphins, led by Ryan Fitzpatrick's 257 and a couple of touchdowns.
Interesting. Nothing's interesting about that game.
Nope.
Nothing is.
Hey, Browns are 8-3, though. And
how about that?
They are going to be a playoff team as the Jaguars are 1-10 and fired their GM, Dave Caldwell, after the game.
The Browns' schedule this year couldn't be more perfect.
Still winning, though.
Still winning. They're running the football. Baker Mayfield's doing, he is the ultimate game manager right now.
That's what you want a number one pick to do, right?
No, not typically. But if I have two good running backs like what they do have, and they have a very good defense, the Browns are good. They're not great. They're good. They're not even the Are they the third best team? Are they better than the Ravens? Even though the Ravens are falling apart, no way you're going to tell me that they're better than the Ravens, but they're going to make the playoffs.
Yeah.
And the Ravens might not.
How about this? Two touchdown passes for Baker Mayfield yesterday.
Yeah.
They were his first touchdown passes since October 25th.
Yeah, they won. And it was the Jags. That's a 1-10 Jags team who fires their general manager. See ya.
All right.
Doug Marone's next.
Hey, speaking of putting on a passing exhibition, the Saints beat the Broncos 31-3. This game was set back the quarterback position a decade, maybe a century, as Taysom Hill threw for a sultry 78 yards in the win. Poor Kendall Hinton, who is the quarterback for the Denver Broncos.
How much money do you think he made for that game? Maybe pretty good money.
League minimum. I don't know what that is, but pretty he good. Went 1 of 19 for 13 yards and 2 interceptions. He's a wide receiver that was forced to play quarterback. But Taysom Hill, he only went 9 of 16 for 78 yards in a pick. He didn't throw a touchdown either.
Didn't have to.
My good. Well, I mean, come on.
He rushed for one, though.
Sure. Two.
Two. Sorry, my bad. Two. Look good. Look good. So all the Saints have to do, they've played the Falcons. They beat the Falcons. Now they have to play them again in 3 weeks. I like the Falcons this week. Okay, they bounce back, even though every time you pick the Falcons, they go and mess you up. But then you'll have the Eagles. They're going to get Drew Brees back for the Chiefs, which is coming in 2 weeks. Nice little setup for the Saints.
Upset in L.A. as the 49ers go down to SoFi, and they get a Robbie Gould 42-yard field goal as time expired to beat the Rams 23-20.
Ryan, what do you say about this game, man?
Seahawks fans have to be happy.
I mean, I say that they did the Seahawks a big-time favor.
Yes, they did. Yes, they did. No way I saw this game coming at all.
Also, it is pretty clear to me that Mostert and Debo Samuel make a pretty big difference.
Yes, they do.
Nick Mullins playing. Nick Mullins.
You know what? I saw that Nick Mullins only completed 4 passes beyond 4 yards.
Yeah, and there was quite a few interceptions that were just dropped.
Run the damn ball.
It was brutal. Yeah. All right, Chiefs beat the Buccaneers 27-24. Score was close, but the game really wasn't, as Tyreek Hill had 203 yards in the first quarter. And a pair of touchdowns as Kansas City ran out to a 17-0 lead.
I think the cheetah might not be a good enough name because cheetahs are fast, but they're not just unguardable. He was unguardable.
Yep.
There's nobody that could keep up with him. He was playing at a speed that nobody else has. And Patrick Mahomes is the MVP leader by a long shot. I mean, I might throw Derrick Henry in there or a few other guys that are playing really well. But right now, Patrick Mahomes is, I mean, that just, even the fourth down when they had to get that third down conversion at the end where he faked kind of the run, they ran an option play where nobody from the Bucs tackled the pitch man. Mm-hmm. What are you doing? What are you doing? Patrick Mahomes. He's good.
Well, Patty Mahomes, really man. Good. That's what he does.
Wonder how that ketchup tasted on his turkey this weekend.
Gross. He's a monster for that. He is a monster for that, and he needs to be stopped. If you're looking at with Tom Brady, though, 11 interceptions, he hasn't had that many picks since 2011.
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness.
He teaches guys how to do a sight adjustment.
And then Sunday Night Football saw the Packers blast up
what
Bears
even a football game.
41-25, a 21-point second quarter, putting that thing on ice as Aaron Rodgers only had to throw for like 200 yards, and they still got a win.
Yes, they did. Yes, they did. And they will be the one or the two seed as it sits. If the Saints falter at all, the Packers have of all the schedules, and I look at the Seahawks schedule, but if you look at the Packers schedule, Eagles, Lions, Panthers, Titans, Bears. Packers are going to only lose maybe one game. That's the Titans. And they're going to sit very, very comfortably. And you're going to have to go to Lambeau unless the Saints decide to get really, really good and they don't lose. So, good luck playing Aaron Rodgers in Lambeau in the playoffs.
You know what's incredible about the Packers right now? And by the way, they look so much more comfortable in spreading the ball around with Alan Lazard back in the game and on the field for them. Devontae Adams is on pace to join Calvin Johnson and Randy Moss as the only players in the Super Bowl era with 16 or more receiving touchdowns and 100-plus receiving yards per game in a season.
Tip your cap to Aaron Rodgers, because without him, a dude can sling it.
Holy smokes. Maybe Devontae Adams is upset that Aaron Rodgers wanted a receiver.
He's like, you got one.
So he's
like, can I have two? I mean, Tom Brady's got like 17. Can I have two?
Yeah, just give you one more, guys. Okay, just one more. All right, that is NFL Rapid Fire. We got one more game that we need to get to, and it's tonight right here on The Fan, Monday Night Football, Seahawks, Eagles, plus more of your feedback on bigger win for the Beavs or bigger loss for the Ducks. Dusty and Cam on The Fan. All right, we got Monday Night Foosball tonight. Big one for both of these teams is the Seahawks with a win in Philadelphia could give them a one-game advantage in the NFC West after the Rams got a favor, or excuse me, the Rams picked up a loss and the Seahawks got a favor from their rival, the San Francisco 49ers football team.
Feels great, baby.
Tough division. You're going to end with the 49ers and the Rams, which is...
By the way...
It's going to be a bear those last 2 weeks of your Seahawks.
You mentioned Minnesota is sitting there and they have a shot. They got the same record as the Niners.
Yeah, they do.
What if the Niners can still find a way in?
No.
What if they do it?
You're saying no? You want a higher draft choice? Is that
no,
what you're saying?
No, that's not it. I don't think the Niners can make any noise. And I don't get me wrong. I like seeing them win. Yeah, watching them win yesterday was great, but I don't want to let this one win make me think they're a playoff team now, because I don't think they are.
All right. They've got the Bills, tough Washington game. Football team, Cowboys, Cardinals, and Seahawks left.
Sounds like two wins to me.
8-8. I think 8-8 is possible. Most definitely.
That ain't getting you in the NFC right now.
Yeah.
That ain't doing it. all right. Well, Monday Night Football tonight has that much more juice because the Eagles can get back up into first place in the NFC East, and they're at home, Philly is, in this one. And we could see Jalen Hurts. We could see Carson Wentz. We're not sure what we're going to get in a topsy-turvy division. There's no doubt about it, though. Seattle, it feels like this game is one where they just mop the floor with Philly, right?
I don't think Seattle mops. Seattle doesn't mop the floor with anybody. That's the thing, is that they don't blow anybody out. They really don't. So this game will be better than what we think. I think it will. There'll be a couple mistakes. Here's what, if you're going into this game plan, though, however, and you have your, well, no, you do. You have Carlos Hyde and Chris Carson at full strength. You're going to see the run game, guys. It's going to get muddy and ugly. That's what you do. That's what you're going to have to do versus this game. And then you're going to put all the pressure on the pass rush. And if Jalen Hurts plays, you're going to try to make Carson Wentz make mistakes.
And 6.5-point spread right now.
Yeah, this isn't a blowout by Seattle, but a 2 touchdowns would be, that'd be an astronomical win.
I could see it.
I don't think so. I think it's still a one-score game. No matter how you look at it, it's going to be one of those battles, one-score game, and you'll get a couple turnovers that'll make mistakes. Seattle should win this football game.
Oh, they should. But doesn't it feel like, you know, like I love Doug Peterson. I like Philly and the edge that they play with Doug Peterson.
Yeah.
That clip that we played earlier, though, it just sounds like this could be a tipping point for them where it's like he sounds like he's sick and tired of it.
Yeah, it could be the blow-up.
Carson Wentz is like, guys, what do you want me to do? Half my offensive line is on the IR. My left tackle, Lane Johnson's ankle's collapsing in on him. He's not playing anymore. Like, what do you guys want from me? You know, and it just kind of seems like we could go down and see one of those games.
Well, the thing is, if you do play Jalen Hurts, are you bending to the fans? Are you doing right? This to appease the noise that goes on in Philly? Because Carson Wentz is he's a better quarterback. But if you just play Jalen Hurts because you feel like you need to, and maybe the ownership drafted him, did Doug Peterson really want to draft Jalen Hurts? I ask myself that question every time I look at it. When you have a guy in there, you have an incumbent, and you draft somebody that high, who's responsibility? We've seen it happen in Green Bay. We know that doesn't look like it's a very good pick as we sit, or it just pissed off Aaron Rodgers enough to say, you know what, Jordan Love, you just sit back for about 5 years and watch what a real pro Hall of Famer does. Carson Wentz didn't have that same kind of response. He's trying hard. He looks like he's pressing. You make this call as Doug Peterson. This might be your last call as a head coach.
Yeah, but I remember, like, Doug Peterson was really excited about moving up and getting Jalen Hurts at the end of the draft and saying how that's the guy that they wanted to go and get when he was sitting there. They remember because they traded up to go and get him.
Yeah.
You know, he was talking about how excited he was for that.
I personally, if I was a Philly fan, I would enjoy seeing Jalen Hurts play tonight and see what you got. I don't know. What's the hurt? No pun intended.
Hey-o. Well, it's going to be a fun one. Going to be a real fun one tonight. Monday Night Football. You can hear it right here on The Fam. Our coverage starts at 3 o'clock. No primetime. Also, great text and great feedback today on the Ducks and the Beavs. Monumental swing of emotions here in the state of Oregon on where their football programs are between Oregon and Oregon State.
Congrats to the Beavs.
Yeah, great win for Jamar Jefferson. Now you sit there and Kirk Herbstreit has got Jamar Jefferson as his third best performance of the weekend in football. Mm-hmm. And by the way, number one would be a guy who ran for 406 yards and 8 touchdowns. So that one's going to be hard to top.
I guess that's good.
We do have this text that says, Beavs beat the damn Ducks. No such thing as a case of the Mondays for the rest of 2020.
That was my chainsaw.
All right. Up next, we got the Herd with Colin Cowherd, 9 to noon. Noon to 3 is Dirt and Sprague. 3 o'clock, our coverage, Monday Night Football, Eagles. Seahawks lean you up to a 5:20 kick right here on The Fan. Have a great Monday. We'll see you Tuesday from 6 to 9 a.m. This has been Dusty and Cam.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during O' Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, oh.